This is the beginning of the tape visit with Cookie this Thursday morning, Thanksgiving, the middle of the morning, 26th of November, 1970. This is the beginning of the visit with Cookie this Thursday morning, the middle of the morning, 26th of November, 1970. This is the beginning of the visit with Cookie this Thursday morning, Thanksgiving, the middle of the morning, this 26th of November, 1970, Channel 1 Right. Channel 1 Right on this new reel and the beginning of the visit with Cookie this Thursday morning, the middle of the morning, the 26th of November, 1970. Now this is the beginning of the visit with Cookie, Channel 1 Right, this Thursday morning, Thanksgiving, the 26th of November, 1970.
Todd was up the mall last week, just messing around, you know, looking, and went through Woolworths.
Yeah.
And they had some kind of blanks out front, you know, that you filled out and you put in a box.
Yeah.
For a turkey. Well, Helen filled out two, and Grandma filled out two. And by golly, they pulled Helen's name out yesterday and called and told her she won her a turkey.
Got a bad burn.
10 pounds.
Nice.
So we're going to eat turkey after a while.
How about that?
Turkey with the trimmings.
Thanks, Woolworth. Or Grandma Todd.
Yeah. Helen told Grandma, she said, now, Grandma, I'll win the turkey and you cook it.
Yeah.
Grandma said, all right. So, she was in Jacksonville. So last night we called Grandma up in Jacksonville and told her, said, well, come on to Hawthorne and cook this turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
she got youngs over there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Family?
Her daughter lives up there. Then her son is in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Knoxville. He's in the Navy.
Cookie, what does that thermostat do? It holds the water back, keeps it from flowing, and lets it heat, or what?
That's right. Until it gets to a certain temperature.
The water pump keeps it moving.
Yeah.
And that holds it till it gets to a certain temperature.
That's right. Then when it gets to a certain temperature, well, it holds at that certain temperature all the time, which is 180 degrees.
And you want a warm, hot motor. You want a warm motor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if you don't have that thermostat, you're just circulating, and you're cooling more than you're heating.
That's right. You're especially in the wintertime, see.
Yes.
Now, in summertime, your engine will maintain a good operating temperature, except on a high, real high compression engine like Cadillac or Oldsmobile, then you have to have a thermostat in there to keep the flow, the water pump, from pushing the water out, because the water pump pumps it so fast. See, it pumps under by 17 pounds pressure. Oh, yeah.
That's more pressure we got out here, isn't it? We don't have much pressure on these things. I learned something. I stopped by Ms. Jeffers. Marvin was, I was complaining about these water faucets out here. I drip them, and the drip freezes. Well, it quits dripping. And I play, I don't know why it is. I let them almost run.
Uh-huh.
And I go out there a couple hours later, and they're not doing anything. But sometimes they freeze. They always freeze. Always freeze. These exposed ones always freeze.
Yeah.
Now, inside, they'll drip. He said, he was talking about putting a drain out there, a kitchen drain. And this time, he said he was just going to put in a little old, his hydrant out there. It was so high. He was just going to put it down about 6 inches. And when it come a cold spell, he just going to sew dirt on it. And I just thought to myself, why hadn't I thought about that? Now, we put that in last week out there. And I put it way up there, knee high, you see.
Yeah.
And also, I put it against that post where I couldn't hardly get to it to rack it. Well, if I just got a little 6-inch nipple, just something to barely get it out of the ground.
Yeah. It never froze.
It never froze.
Hmm.
You can stick a stick up there so you won't run over them. You'll run over them anyhow.
And if they're sticking up that high, you're still going to run over them.
Yeah. You don't, you don't have a stick or something there.
Yeah.
Concrete block. You know, when a fella is rigging things up, it would just keep in mind to do it the best, simplest way.
Simplest, that's right.
And that is the very hardest thing to do.
You're gonna run the most complicated route in spite of everything.
You're gonna do it in spite. I've been putting them in all my life, and it never even occurred to me that you could put them down there where you could bank them. I don't know where you got the idea of banking, maybe from these sisters.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
They bank the trees.
Oh, yeah.
And the little ones, are, of course, they bank way up there. Who'd you talk to over there, cousin?
Tom Halo.
You didn't know him?
No.
I mean, you went to the big office.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to the big office, personnel office. The main man up there is John Boatwright.
Yeah.
You know him?
No.
Where is this cookie?
I'm next in line.
Next in line?
Next in line. I told him, I said, I'll have to have a little while to get rid of the station. He said, that's all right. He said, we don't want nobody to leave us without telling us. And we don't want you to just lock the door in that station and walk out. We want you to give the oil company ample time, if it's 30 days, to get them another operator. He said, when we call you, your job is substantial.
Oh. A decent amount of money.
He said, when we call you, we decide to call you to go to work, he said, we'll give you time to get your station in position so you can come. $6,552 a year, which comes down to $546 a month.
And Saturday's off?
Saturday's off 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. He said, we don't want no overtime. He said, we want our employees to work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. That's it.
Yeah. That overtime is just what a lot of people want, you see.
Yeah.
And what you don't want.
They're going to make it so rough on Helen out of Sunland, she's going to have to quit. I ain't gonna let her work with go on a cottage with a man and work. I ain't gonna do it. And maybe it's a nigger, you never know. And it's coming to that.
Yeah.
They're gonna mix them, men and women. When it comes to that, well, she's gonna lay on the line. I know his secretary real well. She married a good friend of mine, James Head.
Oh. What was her name?
I don't know what her last name was before she married James. James Head's a good friend of mine.
I knew her, James Head, but it wouldn't. What age fell is he?
About my age.
This one be younger.
He worked for Butler Radiator Service down on 4th Avenue.
Yeah. So if you just take that as a final answer, it would really be discouraging.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you see a lot of dumb people in this world get along well, so it can't be, you know, nothing personal about it, is it?
No.
Cookie says they've not got no water. And he won't put in the line and got to get his water started.
Well,
what about that?
Oh, you haven't got started on yet. Well, we better get that done, haven't we?
I don't know what to do first. Put the rye out or?
It'll take, your part of the rye will take about 30 minutes.
Just swing it out. That's
yeah.
All.
Yeah.
Well, I vote to do that and then to get busy on that pump.
Which, whereabouts do you want to put the rye first now? You want to put some along the edge down here where you can see it, right?
I'll put it out there in your pasture.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. And Frank can take the tractor and cut it in. Just run over.
Yeah. The tractor still is.
Just chop it up real good, all over the place. A good chopping won't hurt none of it. Will it, Guy?
Won't hurt it. And we can roll it if we want to. Still a little dry. We didn't get any rain. We got 2 tenths before this cold spell.
That's about what we got. Just a little sprinkle is all we got. Oh, yeah.
We can use the inch very well.
Have you put the calves on the rye over here yet?
No. But it needs it. It's thick. I'm telling you, some parts of that's really thick.
Well, we wanted it thick.
For the calves and human age.
There you go. Let them have it.
Just let them have it. Forget about them. I'm going to have to get a I'm going to get one bag of protein tomorrow for those cows. Sort of tie them over. It's going to be 2 or 3 weeks before this other's ready.
Too hard to get them up again.
Clyde Rag Chipper? Since his trip?
No, he disgusted. He hasn't got a thing decent to work on for a week. A whole week. It's just been hunt jobs, like lights, hunting a short.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, he's disgusted. Here I pulled a tune up in yesterday morning, and was it yesterday, Frank?
Day before yesterday.
I pulled a tune up in, and yesterday I pulled an alternator in, and. I pulled a brake job in for Monday.
Tomorrow
probably. And old Clyde, he's standing there batting the breeze, you know, hunting these fixing heaters on Cadillacs with comfort control. Now that's a job, I want you to know. You don't know where to look.
Don't care.
That's right.
Now, he's not used to that, is he?
No. There's 17 vacuum lines under that dash. And real small vacuum lines. And it can be an airy one of them. Just a little split in every one of them will cause your heater not to come on.
Yeah.
Or cause your air conditioner not to come on. Well, you've got to check them out individually, one at a time, and all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a mess.
And it's sort of thankless. You can't charge for all that.
No.
It'd be such a bill, a huge bill, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I worked on it for a day and a half. Still didn't find it.
Yeah.
Sure have.
But you couldn't charge for a day and a half?
No, I couldn't charge for a day and a half. I can say, oh, give me some coffee money and forget about it. That's all you can say.
Gosh, Peter. Say, I don't think I can stand that. No.
You just work and worry and stand on your head and skin yourself all up and all that kind of junk. $2 or $3 coffee money. That's right.
You know, those little old piddling jobs. Now, a fella down there at Ocala, a fella brought in a little walkie-talkie, just a little thing. And he said, how much do you owe him? And he said, oh, a dollar. Well, you see, it didn't take him long to fix it. But it tied him down with a little equipment. And he was had his mind on something else, just a nuisance. He'd rather not do it. So there's really no way of getting any money out of that, is there?
No. Well, me, I don't care about working on stuff like that. Oh yeah, Frank, that torque converter will be in tomorrow for that Corvette. I guess we better get that thing wound up, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
While you're off to help me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you all better get put in your time.
Yeah, tomorrow. See, we got a job at, we got to pull an engine out of a Corvair, see?
Yeah.
To put a torque converter in it. And, of course, I know I ain't going to make no money off of the job. I didn't intend to start with.
Oh.
This is one of them jobs where my heart's bigger than I am.
What are you, friend?
No, not necessarily. But she, well, to start with, guy, she's, a good friend of one of my good friends. I didn't know him until, they came to me and had trouble. I fixed them up. All right. Why I say I won't make no money, I'll have to draw it out over, say, a period of 3 weeks. Because she just don't have the money. She just ain't got it. She's got no people in this country. They're all back in, Wisconsin. All of her people's in Wisconsin. She married this guy from Fort Lauderdale. Now, they got a little girl about Becky's size. Ain't she fine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I told her what I'd do the job for. She said, Cookie, I just don't have that kind of money. She said, by the time I pay rent and pay kindergarten fees and all that kind of stuff, she says, I just don't make that kind of money. She says, I'm not getting a bit of help from my husband, not a bit. They're separated. So I told her, I said, well, if you can pay for the part, my labor, I said, I'll carry it out over 2 or 3 weeks. I said, we'll give you a chance to pay for it. So she said, all right. Well, she's been paying me along since I've had the part on order, see. She's been paying me $10 a week. So she's paid me $30, and the job is going to cost $65.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't got the part paid for. Well, I'm going to have to carry it out over another 3 weeks in order for me to get my money out of it. Well, I ain't going to make no money, because my money will be tied up too long.
Yeah.
I just ain't going to make no money.
And you have right smart of that.
Mm-hmm.
You run into that every now and then.
Oh, yeah. He came up and he said, rode up on a bicycle. And he says, Cookie around. I said, this is Cookie. I'd put antifreeze in the Mustang and was out there warming it up, you know, checking. And he said, I'm one of Dr. Miles' students. I said, you are. He said, yes. He said, he told me to come by and speak to you. Well, I'm glad you came by. I said, you got an automobile? And he said, no. I here's all I got, this bicycle. He said, this is my wheel.
You want me to do something?
Go ahead.
And I said, well, it gets you around. Yeah, he said, don't cost me nothing. I said, I could see right then he was getting restless and he didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
I said, have you heard of my horses? No, not exactly. He said, I haven't saw them. He said, I've heard a little bit about them. I said, I've got one you need to buy.
What did he say?
He said, no, he couldn't have no place to keep one. But if it had some place to keep one, I guess I could have sold him right there. He's a breeding guy and all that, but old Angola, he's down the bank mule. He said, well, he said, I've got to run. He said, I'll probably see you over the holidays. He said, I'm going to try to get down to the ranch. I said, you are? Yes, sir. He's going to ride his bicycle down. I said, how long will it take you to ride down there? Oh, about an hour. Yeah, he'll ride. I said, you ride down here an hour.
Yeah.
16 miles. But I mean, I can't tell you what, I can't explain to you his, the way he acted and all that. I mean, it's, that's unexplainable.
He about to run out of something to say.
He had done run out of something, so I knew I had to do something. So sell him a horse.
Well, I jumped him, you know, when he got back and told me he'd been over there and you were going to sell him a horse. And I knew right offhand, you know. I said, well, why didn't you go along with him? See what he had. Well, he never thought of that, you know. You got to take a man at his word. If you always said you want to sell a horse to you, does. Now that's the world they live in, you see. And they study sociology and how to deal with people. So, and they're the ones that run the government. He's a bright fella, you see.
Yeah.
He'll be right ahead of something one of these days.
But you know, I'll show you how dumb them students are. Now that's downright dumb. They'll come in that office there and look right at the bathroom. Where's the bathroom? Yeah, they will. They'll look at the telephone. Where's your telephone? And be looking right at it, hanging on the wall in front of them.
They couldn't say I'd love to use that telephone hanging on the wall, could they?
No. They said, where's your telephone?
Well, I guess in their vocabulary that means I'd be pleased to use your phone.
Yeah.
And if you say you haven't got one, that means you... Cookie, tell Faye about how your daddy changed horses. I told her about it, but it don't sound like it doesn't sound right.
I went out and
trained horses.
Yeah.
In the barn.
That's right.
You got those, put the two stalls together.
That's right. I give you about 16, 12 or 16 inches. That one big stall over where he was breaking his mare out in. He puts them in there and he get right in the middle of it. It's like a table there is his stall where he trains his horses. He'll get right in the middle of it. And he'll make them go around and around and stop them. Make them come to him.
Oh.
Yeah. Wild ones. He puts some wild ones in there. He'll make them do. And he never hits one over the head with nothing. He never touches one around the head.
Well, I'd like to see that.
He's got one of these buggy whips, long buggy whips.
Yeah.
It's got the little plait on the end about that long.
Mm-hmm.
And he burns them right over the hips with that. That's all he uses.
All he stands in the middle.
Stands in the middle.
And you make him stop?
Yes, sir.
Just by voice?
Yes.
See that.
And he never gets he never gets when he's working with his horses, his voice is never higher than what we're talking right now.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't speak loud, so.
No.
They said the horses don't like that loud talking like I do to the cows.
They don't.
Mm-mm.
They don't. You can set that rowdy horse wild down there by getting rough with him.
Just by speaking friendly to them, but loud.
That's right. Because that's the way Daddy broke them. He broke them horses right there in the barn. Put the harness on them. And when he took them out and hooked them up, he knew what he had.
You notice Nick never raises his voice when he's out there. Mike Tilton never did. That man from Canada worked like your daddy. In the pen, I saw him, but I didn't know anybody else could.
I'm planning to go get Mom and Dad Christmas. If all goes well. If I can get them to consent to come, I'll go get them.
But he cracks it.
That's right.
He got a little cracker on
there. Yes, sir.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
He lets them feel it.
He lets them feel it, but
mm-hmm.
he don't abuse them.
Mm-hmm.
It don't hurt them back there. They're tough.
Yeah, they're just tough. But
it's around the face. That's what makes them shy.
See, that's what you're in little man. That old boy just beat him over the head.
Now that's in the barn there, Faye. He just puts those two stalls together where he got
that. That's right.
Not much bigger than this room then, is it?
Yeah, about like this room. You stand right in the middle. And you make him go around and around. You make him turn around and go back the other way and make him come to him. And these horses, Daddy, down here that I've got, he could put feed in the box, sweet feed. And turn around and go out of the barn, that horse could be eaten. And he could say, come on, Prince, let's go. He'd quit, he'd leave his seat and walk right out of that barn with Daddy.
Is that right?
He sure would.
Is that right?
Because he knew if he didn't, he'd get tore up.
Yeah. How much, we need a good stall here. Just one good stall. I could get a horse with a croup like Missy and get a cow down or something. And,
need one closed in, tight.
Yes, if you want, yes.
Especially down at the ground up, say 5 feet to where the wind would hit them direct. I mean, it would blow over top of them, but it wouldn't hit them.
Yeah.
But have it closed up down close to the ground.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah, that little shed I had Missy in, you know, it's all right as long as you don't have too long a blizzard. But it'd be nice.
Yeah, it's not really. It's a little protection.
Well, I better get out there and spread that rye out before the wind gets blowing. The wind ain't blowing much right now.
That's right. It's right calm. Well, I'll be
thin. once we get out, that'll be the last setting down we do today.
Yeah.
Something
will
be on foot the rest of the day.
Now, they'll be down over there at the trailer, I imagine, around 12. Of course, the turkey was about done. 12:30. Uh-huh. Eat out in the yard on the picnic table, Thanksgiving Day.
Yes, sir. We enjoy it. It's going to be 70.
Yeah.
That's what the weather has.
I brought the wagon down and the trailer. I got to unload it.
We can get that. You bring the boards?
Now they're up the station. I'm gonna go to the station and get them. I got a lot of things to do today.
Well, we better get moving.
And this weekend, oh my goodness.
Yes.
So this is 500 Channel 1 right on this new reel, and the end of this little visit, half an hour almost, of Cookie and Franklin. Faye was in and out. That old stove was hot, and we were just tidying up when he came this Thanksgiving Day, the 26th of November 1970, the end of Channel 1, the visit, Cookie's visit, and this is 500. On Channel 1 right, this Thanksgiving Day. This is up towards past the middle of the morning, the 26th of November, 1970, Thanksgiving Day. And the end of this little visit, nice short visit, Cookie and Franklin, this Thursday morning, Thanksgiving Day, the 26th of November, 1970, Channel 1 right, around 510 now. Now, I'm transferring Mr. Eastman's little tape from the next day, Friday. He came up to work on the well, see what we had done wrong. And that is Friday, the 27th of November, 1970, Friday morning. After breakfast, the 27th of November, 1970, and everything we did was wrong. So we came back over here to talk to Cookie and find out some information. And this telephone call is really revealing. Oh, it's really revealing. Nothing, Cookie didn't do anything right. And this is Miss starts out with Mr. Eastman on the telephone. And then we talk about his trip last summer in August up the country. And this is Channel 1 right Can on the same reel, channel one right, that follows Cookie's Thanksgiving tape. Channel one right follows Cookie's Thanksgiving tape. It's a short.
Oh, come on in, Faye. You want to stand up?
Well,
I'm not as big a coffee drinker as a lot of them.
We don't need anything right now. After we finish, we haven't accomplished anything yet.
I see. Well, you can sit down here a minute.
Let me get my little book.
So you have to find out what he's got in that thing.
Yeah, and I think it's the damn regulating valve, but part of it's gone. I couldn't get it out. I tried to get the wrench on to it. I think if we move that cement block over a little bit, I should have done that and then got a pipe wrench on, a bigger pipe wrench on to it. Turned that out.
Yeah, I looked at that.
You all see what you can get done. Okay.
Well, why don't you just
look. Okay.
Let me see now. I've got it here somewhere. 372-6275.
Oh gosh, I got a book down home, a new book on Morgan horses. I was going to bring it up and show it to you, and I forgot it.
591-1512. 1512. Good morning. Mr. Eastman, want to talk to you?
Good morning, man. Say, we just overlooked at that pump and, what kind of a jet you got down in the bottom? Is it a new jet or one that was with the pump? A new jet. And that had new letters on it. Well, did that...
I don't know what
I see a cinch and a quarter pipe goes down inside the 2-inch.
I don't fool with it.
Yeah.
Don't the inch and a quarter pipe go down to your jet? You don't. Well, what holds your foot valve? It's on the inch and a quarter pipe. Yeah. Well, wasn't they a jet? No jet? Just a foot valve. No wonder you can't get no water. That's got to have a jet down in there. Yeah. There's a jet that goes on the bottom of that inch and a quarter pipe to allow your pressure from your inch pipe on the top that goes down around that inch and a quarter pipe, see? And that pressure there goes back up through that jet to help lift the water. If there ain't no jet on it there, why, I can't see how it'll work. Everyone that I've ever had any experience with always had a jet on them. I've played with them things, well, for a good many years, ever since they come out. And if this one here don't have to have a jet, it's something new to me. You know what those jets are, don't you? I say you know what those jets are. Yeah, well,
No, well, your jet just got a hole in it down there. See that that your casing, your outside casing serves as that pipe. See, your inch pipe just puts the pressure into that 2-inch one. And then your 1.25 is your suction. See, and your suction draws up on your 1.25. Well, then your inch pipe that puts the pressure on that 2-inch pipe, that goes in through that hole in the jet. There. Yeah. And another thing, I think that pressure control outfit is bad. It's leaking. I put a small pipe wrench on it and couldn't stir it. But by putting a big pipe wrench on, I think that'll turn out all right. I think that there's a stem that comes out through that hole that turns in and out to regulate your pressure. You see, you're supposed to run about a 25-30 pound pressure on that olive oil that holds back before you get any water from your pump into your pressure tank. You see, you have to have a 25-30 pound pressure goes back down in the well. He said there ain't no jet on it, it's just a foot valve down on the bottom of that pipe.
Well, that's a new system, Mr. Eason.
It's new to me. You know, the jet down there, see, you got that. There's a hole in the bottom, comes up, you know, and it comes up through. You got through that little hole up through there, see, and as your pressure goes up through, it sucks water from around it and goes up with it.
Yeah. Well, now where will we get a jet?
Well, he said he'd get one.
Can't you get one?
Well, I can get one, but he said that he'd get one. Now that's all I know.
Oh, he's unreliable.
Huh?
He's totally unreliable. Can't believe a word he said. So this is an addition for your sports calendar. Would Wind have one?
Yeah.
Well, let's go get one and put it on.
Well, we'll go down and look and see what Wind's got down there.
All right. If they got it, bring it on up. Where'd you get the whooping cough?
Jesus, I've had it for 2 weeks. That's what I begin to think it is. Jesus.
That's easy. When you all going to come up and tell us about your trip?
Huh?
Last summer. It's been so long, you forgot it now.
Yeah, we come and getting killed up there in Culpeper, Virginia.
Well, lean over the store.
We drove in the rain for probably, 150 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And it really rained, you know, see. We'd come up to that. We got just through Culpeper, just north of Culpeper there, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we figured on driving until 5 o'clock, see? Well, here was this. They was working on the road up there on the shoulder, see? And the water run down off in the shoulders there onto the road some, and it was all muddy, you know, and, you know, that mud is slippery and one thing and another. We was going to meet a big truck. And I was over on my side, the lights on, and the truck had his lights on. We got almost to that truck, and geez, here come a station wagon. The woman driving it, she come right around that truck. And she almost took me head on. And she had to dive back in so quick, you know, that it throwed her going just like this. And all at once, the back end of that went right straight around and right into the ditch, and there she was. Well, We was by the truck by that time. I says to my wife, I said, by Jesus, we always look for a motel, you know, with a restaurant with it, see? So when you want to eat, you go right to the restaurant and get your supper or get your breakfast and take off. I said, the first motel we come to, we're going to stop, whether there's a restaurant to it or not. As I said, I'd rather go without my supper than to go without living. She says, all right. So geez, we went up the road there, 2-3 miles. And there was a motel, no restaurant. Well, we stopped in up there. And it was raining so hard, the motel was down back. And the row of houses in front there. And the fellow lived in the house, and he was on the porch, and I stopped in there. He says, you want a motel room? And I says, yeah. Drive right down there, he said, and I'll be right down. Well, he put on a raincoat and an umbrella, and you know, it rained so hard, the time he got down there, he was soaked clear above his knees. You know, where the raincoat's twitching, you know, and the umbrella, he was just soaked clear above his knees. It was raining so hard, boy, it was really pouring right down. Well, we stopped and stayed all night, and along about 6 o'clock, it stopped raining, and we went out and got some supper. And that same night, we had the news on there, and you see, Culpeper is almost straight west of Washington. It's a little bit southwest there. And they had a cloudburst in Washington, D.C., and they showed pictures on there of streets that had 18 inches to 2 feet of water on them. And they said that there were some streets that had over 3 feet, but they couldn't get their equipment in there to show the pictures. Right in the city of Washington. And then the next morning we got a paper, and boy, I told all about it in the paper there and showed pictures and one thing and another in the paper about that cloudburst that hit Washington up there. Well, geez, it didn't just hit Washington, because we was about 50 miles west of there, see, a little bit southwest. And boy, now they was getting it in there, and I'm telling you.
And that's what you left a good, comfortable place for down here?
Yeah. But when we got up in New York, it was all right. But boy, up there in Virginia, that was a carter up in there. God, and then after we stayed a week up in New York, we went up to Pennsylvania. Warren, Pennsylvania, that's way in the northwest corner there. And people who live the second house from us down here, they live up there in the summer and down here in the winter. They're down here now. We had Thanksgiving dinner with them yesterday.
Oh.
And we went over there to see them. And you know, there were two mornings that we got up and the temperature was down to 40 and they had to start the furnace fire.
That's in the summertime.
Yeah, and that was in August. And you know, he got a garden out there, and he got a fence around the garden as high as this damn ceiling. And you know, them deer would jump over into the garden, eat your stuff up, and jump out and not touch the fence. Well, I ain't lying to you. That fence was higher than you could reach all the way around, you know, and you can reach about 7 feet.
Yeah.
And that fence was a foot higher than what you could reach right straight around. And by gee, them deer would jump right over the top of that and not touch it.
And they
don't take no running jump either, those deer don't. They stand right side of the fence like this here, and they just hop right up like that and come down on the other side. And they was sat there one morning, and it almost says, look right out the window right down there. There's an evergreen tree right down, just the same as the garden was here, and the evergreen tree was here. He said, there's a deer right there just the other side of that evergreen tree. And you know, you could see part of it through the limbs there. Well, I said, you just watch it and I'll see how close I can get to it down there. But geez, you know, I got up and been about 20 feet of that deer before she took off. And she didn't run as though she was scared then.
Mm-hmm.
And the morning that we was leaving up there, my car was up across the road. I had the garage up across the road. My car, but the garage had they tore it down and it got rotten, but they keep the driveway up there, see, and they drive their car up there and park it where the old garage was. And from up across the road, the land kind of goes on a grade right up to a lot of underbrush and woods up beyond it. I started out, we was going to go home. I had a suitcase in each hand, and I got right up to the road, and I was watching where I was walking, see. I got up to the road, and I was going to look to see if there was a car coming either way, you know. When I looked up like that, there were two buck deer standing just behind my car. Boy, they were nice ones. And I set the suitcases down, went back down to the house and told them. And they come out, and the damn deer trotted right along up across the lot, and went up into the brush. Boy, they were nice ones in there. Mm-hmm. And that was right. Well, they're about 3 miles south of Warren, Pennsylvania, and about a half a mile from them is a little town called Stoneham. But boy, that's wild country up in there.
Yeah.
And one of the nights that we was there, kitchen window, the back end of the house, it's just on a side hill, like, see? And out the back of the kitchen window, they got a garbage can on the outside there, see? And they just open up the window and drop the garbage right down into the can, see? And then they can take it from there. They heard a little noise out there. They went over there with a flashlight and looked out, and there were two coons. They were two coons right in the garbage can. When they said that about 6 months before, when they first went north up there, it wasn't 6 months before that, but it was when they first went north in the spring, they heard a noise out there like that, and they took the flashlight and looked out there, and there was about a half-grown bear out there. They thought that's what it was the other night, or that night when we was there, see? They were just ready to holler to us to come down and see the bear, and we was upstairs and had gone to bed, and golly, it was the coons. And there was one coon there stand right on his hind feet, she said, and hold his hand up like that. So she went and got a slice of bread and took a fork and stuck into it, and she reached out and handed it out, and that fellow there reached her up and got it. She said the minute he got that slice of bread, he stuck it in his mouth and he'd run like the devil with it.
Well, now, you didn't know all that was going on, Mr. Eastman.
About the coon?
Yeah.
No, we didn't know that till the next morning.
And the deers and all.
Huh?
And the deers.
Well, God, we see the deer up there.
But you didn't know that was going on. You hadn't been up there in so long.
No. Well, we never had been over there at Warren, Pennsylvania before. But those deer, they got in there. The first day that we was up there, he was showing me the garden, you know, and he had string beans. They stood right up like that, you know, and the leaves about that big around on it. He had a row of them out through there, and then there was potatoes and onions and beets and everything else there. But, you know, the morning after those deer got in there, we don't know how many there was. Well, Jesus, they had them beans at right down. So all it was some stalks standing up about that high.
Is that right?
And they had some of the potato tops off. But the beans, they liked them first rate. It's funny to me now. There was a beets there, and they never touched the beet tops.
Yeah.
But they just cleaned them beans right down, and some of the potato tops.
Well, I guess that's what you'd call a deer fence.
Yeah, well, they have it's a woven wire fence, and they got pipes stuck in the ground, you know, they're drove in the ground, and yeah. Stick clear way up there, and by Jesus, them deer go right over the top of it.
Well, you have no idea how high you'd have to make your garden fence.
No. I know up home one time, my boy and I was going up from one farm up onto the other one, up, had to go up a hill, and on the upper farm over in the corner there was about 4 acres of woodlot over in there, and it had a lot of underbrush in it. And my boy and I was going up onto the other farm, started up across the lot with a team of horses on a hay wagon. And we got up there, just up top of the hill, and here come, there were 13 of them deer coming right down the cross, and they're going right into that woodlot. Well, I said to the boy, I said, here, you drive the horses, and I'll cut over across in there and drive them out where we can get a good look at them. Well, you know, I started over in there. My golly, the next thing I knew, I was right up within about 20 feet of this old buck deer. And he just standing right there looking at me, and his eyes were just like balls of fire. Well, here was a young sapling there about that big round, and geez, I started to go right up that sapling because I didn't know what the devil that buck deer would do, you know. But you know, he stomped his foot, and he turned right at right angles and went right straight over across like that. And we had just built that spring a brand new barbed wire fence up there. And there were 3 little fawns in there. I didn't stand no bet that high. And I thought to myself, well, geez, I'll chase them over there by the fence and I'll have some fun with them little fellows getting through the fence. You know, them little devils went over the top of that fence just like so many flies. Why, there was nothing to it. They went over there more graceful than the big ones.
Is that right?
They just seemed to hop just like that. They was the Pennsylvania deer. They have 2 kinds up there in New York State. They have the Adirondack deer and the Pennsylvania deer. The Adirondack deer, they got a tail just about that long.
About 6 inches?
Yeah. And the Adirondack deer, their tail's about that long.
Oh.
2 foot.
Yeah.
But they still look about alike?
Yeah.
Just have to see their tail.
Yeah. And every once in a while up there, you'll see one of them old big bucks, you know, mine got a 15, 20 pointer. Jesus, what a racks of horns some of them have got. There was one day running right down the road and went across the road in front of me, and his horn hung right down over his face. He probably had been in a fight somewhere and got him broke.
Yeah.
See, because it hung right down right over his face. And all the deer that I've seen, I've never seen one yet that was in what they call the pink velvet.
Yeah.
Did you ever see one?
No.
I never did either. Now them up there, them buck deer that we see up there last August, they had a little bit of that velvet on their horns yet, you know, and it had been tearing loose and some of it hung in strings like.
Mm-hmm.
See where they were. It's coming off. But they tell me that when that velvet first comes out on there, it's pink.
Oh, really?
Now, this is the end of Channel 1 Right, and I've got to put it over on Channel 1 Over. This is the end of Channel 1 Right. Mr. Eastman reporting on his trip in upstate New York and Pennsylvania in August last summer. And he had just talked to Cookie over the telephone this Friday, the 27th of November, 1970. Friday, the 27th of November, 1970. Now, this is a continuation of it on the other side. Channel 1 Over. I'll have to continue it on Channel 1 Over. I'll have to continue it on Channel 1 Over.
A lot, you know, with the second cutting in. Gee, there'd be some of them that have 15, 20 deer in there.